We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Super Fans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Next Fan Up. I'm your step-in host, English Simon. Our sort of regular host, Mark Sitko, is apparently in Las Vegas on business. Make of that what you will. But therefore, we're going to sort of step in, have a recap of actual full slate of NFL games, week one, preseason. So I'm your host, Simon Hunt. I represent the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm joined by Chicago Bears fan Tom Shannon. Tom, how are you today, sir?
Simon, it is so cool to finally be on with you because I have a question.
Go for it.
Is that accent real, or are you sitting on top of some mountain in the Ozarks trying to sound sophisticated?
I'm not trying. If I'm trying to sound sophisticated, I'm failing on every level. No, I'm. It's a weird accent that's kind of Manchester / Derbyshire, where I'm from. So it is my accent, and I am. It's good. It's great to be on with you too, because as we talked about previously, you are one of the smartest guys in the superfan world, and it's a pleasure to be with you.
Well,
you're the only superfan. Sorry, buddy.
It's a pleasure to be with you, a hick from Manchester.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. So that's our superfan number one. Oh, and there are little rumblings from our other superfan, New York Jets superfan, J-E-T-S. Jets. Andrew Hirsch, how are you, Andrew, today?
Been better. Just came back from the beautiful Bahamas, stuck here in Hubin, New York. So here to talk some Jets football with you guys.
I'm just glad your jaw's working fine, unlike your quarterback. So it's good to hear that is the case.
Already literally.
Two minutes into the podcast. Yeah, you know, as English people love a joke. We are joined by an incredibly special guest, fellow Blog Talk Radio podcast superstar. By the way, I'm not trying to say I'm a superstar. We're all superstars. It's the Sports Gal Pal, Ramona Rice. Ramona, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for having me.
You are most welcome. Thank you so much for joining us because, unfortunately, superfan Sam of the New York Giants couldn't make it today. He's also on business. I think what really happened was the Bengals beat the Giants and he was too embarrassed to be on the same air as me. And that's kind of what happened. So later on, obviously, we'll talk about that game, but let's crack on with the first game on our list, which was the Baltimore Ravens hosting the New Orleans Saints, and the Ravens triumphed for the last four-second touchdown to win 30-27. We've got some insight from two of our superfans, Chase, the Saints superfan, and Rex, of course, the king of the superfans. I watched a bit of this game, and with the benefit of Game Pass, which is a fantastic service that we get, and it was a weird, weird game. So Baltimore came out of the traps, absolutely cleaned up on offense. Great job from Joe Flacco. And it looked like, obviously, Tom's old head coach, who's now the coordinator on offense in Mark Trestman. He did a great job at making sure that they can continue their good stuff. And it was good to see. And Rex pointed out a couple of people. He was really impressed with the backup running backs, Lorenzo Taliaferro and rookie Buck Allen. Lorenzo looked really good. Looks a little bit slimmer, a little bit leaner, and did really, really well. He was also impressed with the wide receivers. Michael Campanero was fantastic in this game, and he even made Matt Sharp look good. And he also mentioned about the tight ends, the rookie tight ends in particular, which were Nick Boyle, who did a great job passing, pass blocking, apologies. Also, Matt, so hot, he has two X's, Williams. He was fantastic. He dropped a pass in the end zone, he says here, and also he hurdled a defender, which I saw that. It looked fantastic, but it wasn't one to repeat. Something I definitely couldn't do. So that was the Ravens. They looked good. Justin Tucker was his usual self. The Saints, if I may just recap Chase's work here, he was impressed with the offensive line. He was happy with the kick returner, who's a seventh-rounder, the rookie, Marcus Murphy. And he was really impressed with some of the unrestricted free agents, one in particular, Caleb Ulis, who had two tackle for losses and a pass down. Didn't like the injury situation. He's lost three guys, hopefully nothing long-term there. And also, we really, really did not like the penalties. So the Saints gave up 16 penalties, 143 yards. And so as an area of emphasis, this wasn't a good starting place for him. I'd be interested to see if anybody here saw any of this, because I thought it was quite a good game. And also a good game for some of the younger quarterbacks. If you saw Garrett Grayson, the Saints' third-round pick, he looked really good and sharp in the second half of the game. But do you guys see any of this game? Any thoughts to add?
I did not see it, but by all reports, Joe Flacco looked really good, and I'm not terribly surprised. I think Mark Trestman is pretty good with quarterbacks. I think he might be one of these guys that's sort of made to be a coordinator and maybe not so much made to be a head coach, kind of a Wade Phillips kind of guy. And the only thing that they're going to need somebody in that booth pounding him over the head, reminding him to run the ball, because when he was with the Bears, they didn't do nearly enough of that. As far as Garrett Grayson's concerned, I can tell you that I had a man crush with him before the draft. I really wanted the Bears to take him, and I was sorry that they missed out on him, but what are you going to do? I'm glad to hear he's doing well in New Orleans.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they had three quarterbacks, Drew Brees, that didn't play in this game, and they all look great, to be quite honest. It's good to see what, obviously, Sean Payton can do with the quarterbacks. It was good to see that, and I think it'd be good to see the Saints bounce back after two quite tough years, and fingers crossed that they can sort of build on their decent performance. Obviously, they lost, but a decent performance that hopefully they can build on. And the Ravens at home, they're always a tough team to play against. And like you said, I think it was really good to see the run game in on the first team offense was really, really strong, to be honest. And I thought, obviously, Trestman's said they're going to commit to the run, and that was clearly the case in game one. Ramona, did you see any of this game?
I didn't, but, you know, looking at the highlights and looking at the, box score, the Ravens look awesome. I mean, 360 yards total offense, being that they really only had their starters in for, what, one series, if that. They look real, real good. Sorry, Simon. They're going to be tough to beat this year.
I agree with Ramona, so much so that I took my blackjack winnings. I might have put a little something-something on the Ravens to win the Super Bowl at 20-1 this year. I just really, really like what they did this offseason. Yeah, they lost some guys, but what they replaced them in the draft with Breshad Perriman and Carl Davis. Ozzie Newsome just keeps doing well and keeps stocking this team up with players, and I think it's going to lead to good things this year.
Plus, I feel like Trestman just fits this offense so much better. I feel like Flacco is comfortable with him. I think you're going to see good things coming out of them this year because of that. It just looks like already the relationship works.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, could see that chemistry early on. And just it looked comfortable. It was so easy for them to move down the field. And again, that's really encouraging for them to see that already they're having that sort of instant connection work for them. One thing I will mention on the Saints side of it, I was quite impressed with Brandon Cooks. Obviously, he missed about six games in the season, but obviously had an encouraging start to his rookie career. And obviously now that Jimmy Graham's in Seattle, it'll be interesting to see if he can step up and make the transition and obviously showcase why the Saints traded up for him last year. So that's a quick summary of the Baltimore-New Orleans game. We're going to move on to the Detroit Lions, who hosted the New York Jets, obviously Andrew's team, and Detroit prevailed 23-3. Andrew, obviously not a great start to the season, but was there anything encouraging from your perspective?
I appreciate the question to start with the optimistic point of view. I guess the one thing I would look at is Chris Ivory, that he just looks like he looks like in midseason form, running people over, falling forward. But really, besides that, it was just an awful showing on and off the field. I mean, we could get to the off the field issues soon, but the first team defense was in, couldn't stop anything. Golden Tate was running all over everybody. Demario Davis couldn't cover anybody, got shook out of his shoes by Amir Abdullah. It could have been better. I'm not that concerned yet, considering Sheldon Richardson didn't play and Muhammad Wilkerson didn't play. But I'm not thrilled with what happened on the field in preseason week one. Off the field, I'm even less thrilled with what would happen. But, oh, God.
So do you want to just recap for those who may have missed what happened last week? If you've missed it, I don't know how you've missed it, but kind of explain what happened and kind of why. Just explain the situation for us all.
All right. So I'm sitting at the blackjack table. This guy goes to, he tells my New York accent. He can tell that I'm from New York. He goes, Jets or Giants? I'm like, oh, Jets. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you. I go, no, no, things are looking up this year. I think this is going to go well. after the shoe, I go to the sports book to go pick up the sheets, see what's up on the next game. And I just see Geno Smith's face plastered on the big screen. Out 6 to 10 weeks, broken jaw and locker room altercation. I just stood there and laughed. Like I couldn't I was shocked. I was just I didn't have any reaction. I'm shocked right now considering I can't get my thoughts straight. I still can't get my thoughts straight in this whole situation. But just so Jets in every way. I thought the circus was over when Rex Ryan left. It doesn't seem like it is, even though Todd Bowles is trying his hardest to calm the situation down. But with this, along with Sheldon Richardson, it doesn't look like the media is going to have a lack of things to write about this year.
Have you considered the possibility that you're actually better off without Geno Smith, the quarterback, that Fitzpatrick might actually be better?
Right. So, yes, I have considered that. The problem with that is the element of upside is gone because you know what you're getting with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He if he starts the whole year, the top record you're going to have is 9-7. Maybe you go 10-6, very unlikely, but you're not going anywhere with him. Geno Smith, by all accounts, was having his best offseason of his career, was a great fit for Chan Gailey's system. If he broke out, then we had a legit shot to make some noise in the playoffs. Now I don't see it as much. And
I believe that of Geno Smith when I see it and not before.
Right.
So,
okay. The thing is that you know that's not happening with Fitzpatrick. There was still that element of the unknown with Smith, and there isn't that with Fitzpatrick. Yeah, Fitzpatrick, the thing with Fitzpatrick is that everyone's like, oh, he's a steady veteran. He's really not. Like he's a very erratic quarterback. He's gonna take chances. He's gonna try to fit balls into windows, and sometimes that leads to great plays, and sometimes that leads to horrendous plays, sort of like Geno Smith. But Geno Smith is also what 24 years old. So this was the year where we're gonna find out if Geno Smith was the guy or not, and it doesn't even look like we're gonna have that opportunity.
And a point well taken.
I think let's look on the positives, though. I think 6 weeks, that's what, week two or three, if we're looking at it from now. So hopefully you can come back and you can play most of the season. I think all you said, you missed defensive starters. I think you look at Decker, you look at Marshall, and like I said, Chris Ivory looked really, really good in this game. I think there's room for optimism if towards the end of the season you can start to build on what Todd Bowles wants to do. And clearly, it's not ideal at the moment, but I think one of those things is it's week one of the preseason. Let's hope that Geno Smith gets back. And then from there, I think hopefully you can beat some teams. And I think it'll be the AFC East will be closer than people think, and fingers crossed for you, Andrew, that can be the case. Did you notice anything from Detroit that kind of took your caught your eye, so to speak?
Amir Abdullah.
He looks fantastic. The
yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. He's the only guy.
Go on, when you talk about him, because the more I talk about it, seeing him, Davis out of his shoes, it just makes me cry. So if you want to talk about
Abdullah. 67 yards, 7 carries, 67 yards. I mean, just ridiculous. I mean, he basically smoked the Jets defense, which on paper is one of the best defenses in the AFC. So I just see so much potential on him. He's going to be my sleeper kind of fantasy pick. You know, I always like to pick one or two rookies kind of like as a backup. He's one I'm definitely going to keep my eye on. He looked fantastic.
Todd Bowles after the
He has been hyped in the offseason to the max, and he was another guy. It was like, I'll believe when I see it. He actually accelerates through his breaks. I mean, that is really rare. And I think he's got some shakes. You're right. I wouldn't feel too bad about missed tackles against him. I think he might be a star in the making. I think that might have been a good pick.
Todd Bowles actually compared it to Barry Sanders after the game.
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, I could see it.
He's not Barry Sanders, but I understand why he said that, because he's got some of that in him. He's got that look about him. He's not that good, don't get me wrong, but I understand the comparison. I can see where he's come from.
Yeah, it's more like a LeSean McCoy type running style. I understand where he's coming from there too.
Also, just the offense of the Lions looked great too. 428 yards of total offense. Again, against what is a very good defensive unit. So on the Jets side of it, I'm actually concerned because it feels like those Jets players, the defensive players, are not fitting into the new scheme. It doesn't feel like it's working yet. Hopefully they can get these kinks out before week one. But Jets got some work to do.
Right. I mean, it was one series, one or two series, and Richardson and both didn't play. So those are their two of their top two run defenders. But yeah, like it didn't look smooth at all. But I trust in Todd Bowles. Last year in Arizona, he had a lot of talent than he has here, and he did a great job of making everyone fit into what he wanted to do. I'm not concerned about the defensive side of the ball. I'm worried about offense. The one thing I am concerned on defense that most people don't seem to be concerned about, they're just throwing it out, oh, their secondary is going to be great. Antonio Cromartie does not look the same to me. And in general, he's just a very inconsistent player year to year. So with the fact that D. Milner is hurt too, and Dexter McDougal's coming back from a torn ACL last summer, there's not much depth there now if Cromartie decides to revert back to his inconsistent self. So that's something I would watch.
So in summary, this is what's going to happen next year.
With the first pick in the NFL draft.
Don't count out the Bears.
Hold on, Tom. Your time will come. We'll see. So next week, you guys are at home to Atlanta, looking at the schedule here.
Who, the Jets? Yes, the Jets are with Atlanta.
So it's Friday night, obviously half seven your time. So let's hope you can bounce back. But like I said, yeah, Detroit, well done this one. Staying in the NFC North, Green Bay traveled to New England and, again, they prevailed 22-11. Tom, obviously, we divided these games up to sort of summarize, and you were given this game. Kind of, do you want to lead away and sort of talk about the key points that you saw in this game?
Yeah, sure. Not many people are going to worry a whole lot about Tom Brady, but for what it's worth, he was 1-for-4, and he only played two series. It was a 3-and-out and a 4-and-out, so not a great start for him, not a big deal. Nobody cares a lot, but it's worth mentioning. But I read the reports on this game before I actually watched it. Like you said, you know, NFL Game Pass has been worth every penny. I'm on the free trial. And Jimmy Garoppolo, I expected him to be bad because the reports were generally down on him. But it wasn't as bad as I really thought it was going to be. Patrick, our New England superfan, is right. He missed a couple of deep passes. He did occasionally hold the ball too long, and that did result in a few sacks that were his fault. But generally speaking, you know, he didn't look that bad. He was accurate. He looked like he was comfortable on the field. He actually has a pretty good arm. I think, you know, this is not – you know, he's not quite ready to start the season, I would guess, but he's not as bad as people might have you think. And I still think they're going to be okay if they lose Brady for four games at the beginning of the season. Patrick also commented that he was really surprised that Aaron Rodgers held the ball too long. I watched the game. I got news for you. It wasn't Rodgers. That was the New England defensive backs covering the Packer receivers like a blanket. These guys are really much maligned. I mean, we spent the offseason pretty much bashing them, and that includes Patrick and Pod Vader. They look pretty good to me. Malcolm Butler looked really good. You know, he kept really good tight coverage, and looked to me like the Packers tried to pick on him a little bit, and he stood up and did a pretty good job. So they covered really well, and despite the fact that the Green Bay offensive line did a pretty good job to my eye, we still had Rodgers back there tapping the ball, looking around, not finding anybody, and finally rolling out and scrambling and trying to make something out of nothing an awful lot of the time. So I was really impressed with the New England defense, at least their defensive backs in particular, because my expectations were just so low. Like I said, the Packers' offensive line looked pretty good. That's good news for them. They're a pretty good line. I guess there's no great surprise there. Scott Tolzien looked pretty solid as a backup to Rodgers. That'll relieve some Packer fans. I know Brian Slattery, our Packer super fan, I'm always telling him he's one Aaron Rodgers injury away from a losing season up there. And if they get solid backup play, maybe that won't be the case. Tolzien looked like he belonged out there. He could probably take over and do a credible job at this point. That'd be my guess. The Packers looked okay on defense, but they need to work on their run fits. They gave up some big runs due to some misplays, you know, things like not holding contain, stuff like that. It's fixable stuff, but they are going to have to worry about it, I think. And there was one notable play in this game wide receiver Josh Joyce, who probably you never heard of and won't probably ever hear of again, tried to catch a deep pass from Garoppolo. And he dived for the ball, and the Packers safety, Chris Banjo, tried to dive after him, and he crashed into the official who got in the way, and they're kind of lucky that it wasn't a completed pass because the official really kept him from defending the ball. Bad job by the official, worst job because his name is Sean Hockley. He's actually Ed Hockley's son.
It
was a bad look for the family, I got to tell you. And he went down in a heap. And my first thought was, man, if that had been Ed, that guy would have just bounced off of him like a rock and went down, and Ed would have standing there, you know. He'd have pulled out the guns. Those are biceps, Ramona.
I know what they are.
Oh, I know, but I didn't want to embarrass Simon. he'd have pulled out the guns and clunked those guys' heads together like Mo, as far as I'm concerned. So I think Sean's got to get in the weight room and kind of like bulk up with the old man. And then maybe he'll be a better referee. At worst, he better stay out of the way. And that's that's all I got in this game.
Are the NFL refs under the same kind of drug protocols as the NFL? Because Ed, man, he's massive.
I think they probably are, but you know what? I got a feeling that those drug tests have been pretty easy to get around because, you know, Barry Bonds never flunked a drug test that pretty much tells me everything I need to know about him. So I'm surprised the guys who get caught must be really stupid because, you know, I don't know. They probably are drug tested, but I'm guessing Ed gets around it just like everybody else.
Yeah, he's an impressive, impressive man. Anybody else see any of this game? I saw a little bit of the start. I agree with the statement about Rodgers. He wasn't like floundered or anything like that. It was just great, great defense. I think that's how, looking at Pat's notes as well, that Jonas Gray had a good game on the ground for New England. And they're going to probably try and be a run-based team, control the game, make their defense sort of deliver those potentially four games sort of Tom Brady. But I agree about Tom Brady. Any time that you take a quarterback out of four games, you're going to lose rhythm and sort of reps and things like that because obviously they're going to prepare with Garoppolo. So I don't think he's going to have as big a year as he hopes he will, but we'll see because New England will always be thereabouts. But I think let's see how it all falls.
You know, Simon,
sorry.
On the bright side, if they establish a run game better than they have in the past, and the run games have never really been that bad, then when Brady comes back, you could argue they might even be better off. You know, I think Garoppolo, I still think he'll be okay. I think he's taken a lot of crap over this game, and he did criticize himself over it. But I think I'm an expert as a Bears fan on bad quarterback play, and he wasn't that bad.
And that is a great segue onto the next game, which is Miami traveled to your Soldier Field, Tom, and lost your team 27-10. I think I'm just going to let you speak and give us the sort of the lowdown on your game because I think there's some interesting points that you made and I'd like you to elaborate on them earlier. Now,
all right. Well, we'll see what happens here. I thought that this was a sloppy game on both sides. I'm sure Ron, our Dolphins fan, agrees with that. The Bears were penalized 15 times for 83 yards. The Dolphins 12 times for 80 yards. It's the preseason. What are you going to do? But nevertheless, it's something I think that both teams will tell you they have to clean up. Health-wise, which of course is pretty major coming out of these preseason games, the Dolphins lost Chris McCain. He's a linebacker who's competing to be a starter. He'll probably be okay. It doesn't look like it's going to be that serious. Jordan Tripp, on the other hand, he's a backup, but he did suffer what looks like a fairly serious injury. They have, as far as I know, they haven't diagnosed it, but he was on a boot and in a boot and on crutches, and so it doesn't look good for him. And Ron believes that there might be a depth issue at linebacker. I don't think there's any reason to worry too much. They have three guys competing for two positions there, and none of those three have been lost yet. But I think it is probably something to keep an eye on. For the Bears, they came out of the game healthy. The big news really came before the game. Alshon Jeffrey didn't play due to a, quote, strained calf muscle, unquote. And the reason I put that in quotes is because he is also in a walking boot. And the fans around here, they don't trust, let's just say they don't trust the Bears front office a whole lot lately. That, you know, they started the training camp off by saying that Kevin White was going to be out day to day with some mysterious shin injury that they wouldn't talk about. They wouldn't give the details. And then finally, John Fox said something about shin splints, you know, overworking it in the offseason, blah, blah, blah. And after the game, we find out that all of a sudden he's having surgery and he's got a stress fracture and he's going to have a pin inserted. And he's out at least 6 games, and they're talking about him being out the entire regular season. And this is like 24 hours after they forced White to say that he was fine and looking forward to being out there. So it's a little hard to trust him, and we're all kind of wondering if Alshon Jeffrey's injury is really like week to week or if it's really going to be like month to month. And it's down to the point where, as I've said earlier in the podcast, you got to believe it to see it. If we get down on the field, Jay Cutler had a miscommunication with Eddie Royal on a deep throw. Eddie Royal cut it short. Cutler threw it deep. It's not a big deal, but it's a little bit disappointing because all we've heard around here is about how they're on the same wavelength and, you know, how they're reading each other so well because they've worked together before. And it looks like that's not translating onto the field quite as much as we thought it was going to or we had hoped. Other than that, I will say Cutler looked good, and I am not a Cutler fan, but I thought he was pretty solid. He has a bad habit of doing that when the games don't really mean that much. Jimmy Clausen, the backup, looked pretty solid. His biggest miscue was a failure to get the receiver out of bounds in a two-minute drill, and the clock ran out. But he looked pretty good in the drill up till then. I thought he had a pretty good night. You know, there was a lot of hand-wringing about how bad he looked in camp. He looked okay to me. I think he'll be fine as backup. He'll be able to step in for Cutler, I think, if necessary. And history tells us that will be necessary, and he'll be okay. The Bears barely tried to run last year. I mentioned that when we were talking about the Baltimore game. They did run this game, and they did have a few nice runs against what I think is probably going to be a much improved Miami run defense. I think most of them did come with Ndamukong Suh out of the game. But nevertheless, most of the starters were still in there. I thought they looked okay. That is good. Last year I claimed that Trestman wouldn't run the ball because the offensive line couldn't block it. And I wasn't entirely wrong, but it was encouraging to see the line block for the run, and they had some pretty good runs. Right tackle Jordan Mills is pretty much universally accepted to be the weak point on that line. He looked bad. He had a false start on the first play of the game. He allowed a sack to Cameron Wake, which I'm sure most Miami fans think is pretty good, but it's the Bears. So, you know, let's wait and see. So I won't say his job's in trouble, but he's going to have to get better. Brock Vereen was competing to be the safety with Ryan Mundy opposite Antrell Roll, and I would comfortably say that Vereen lost the job. He was pretty slow to make plays, constantly late. Frankly, Roll wasn't a whole lot better, but he wasn't exposed as badly because they didn't throw at him as much. He's 32, and he looks to me like he's lost a step. So the Bears are going to be Bears safety bad as usual this year. That'd be my guess. Mundy was running with the backups. He looked okay. He looked like himself. He tackles really well. Doesn't have great range, but my guess is he'll be a starter by the time they start the regular season. Sam Acho looked the best in the competition at outside linebacker. He was running against backups, but he looked pretty good. Jared Allen started. He looked okay as well. He looked kind of lost in space every once in a while, but he can cover. And did his job, looked okay. So maybe they'll be okay in that position opposite Pernell McPhee. The major takeaway, if you're a Miami Dolphins fan, was that their offensive line looked pretty good. They've got somebody named Billy Turner starting at right guard. They've got Dallas Thomas at left guard, not good. And they have somebody named Jason Fox, I think, starting at left tackle with Brandon Albert out. I think that Miami fans were encouraged by the performance of the line. They did look good. But in a way, I feel sorry for them because it's very hard to really make a judgment because they're the Bears. Their defensive line is not good. They have one good player, Jay Ratliff, and that's about it. And so you really can't make a judgment on that line. I'll be looking forward to seeing how the Dolphins line does against real competition. I really honestly do hope that they do well. I like that team. And I hope we're all underestimating the problems that they have on that line, including the press and the fans down there. But you really have to wait another week before you can pass judgment on that. They look good, but they look good against a pretty bad unit.
So that's the best.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is the main concern, I think, if you're the Dolphins. Or maybe, you know, maybe a better way to put this is maybe this is one really good thing about the Bears. I've got a feeling that they're reasonably deep. I think their starter is a below average, especially on defense. But I think their backups might be pretty good. And I've got a feeling when the injuries come this year, which they always do, their backups might step in and do a pretty good job. Like I said, Sam Acho's backup, but he looked pretty good. And I have a feeling, I know that Joe Philbin was really upset with the backups and, you know, at the way they played in the second half, but I am inclined as Bears fan to give the Bears some credit here and say that they've got some depth and that they're not going to just fall apart with injuries like they did a little bit last year. And that's pretty good because they've got injuries coming. There is one other thing I kind of noticed. This is kind of funny. If you watch the Bears, their head coaches, starting with Lovie Smith and going through last year and now with Fox at head coach, they all have the same expression on the sideline. Their eyes are glazed over. They're kind of looking up at the replay board. Their jaw's kind of slack and kind of hanging open. And it's kind of like they're going, what the hell is going on out there? And I thought it was really funny that John Fox picked up where everybody else left off, and he's got the very same look on his face. I don't know. Maybe it's something with the recent franchise history, but he looks exactly like Lovie Smith when he's on the sidelines sometimes. It's just hilarious. I think that's what being associated with the Bears will do to you.
Yeah, it sounds like it sounds like, to be honest, the Bears are...
They are who we thought they were.
Exactly.
We let them off the hook.
Exactly.
Oh, what a drop. Anyway, that was a great in-depth look into the Chicago Bears. And we are half an hour into this podcast, and we've done four games. No, that's not a problem. Yeah. We've done the Jets and the Bears, so we're going to obviously have had more time on those teams because they are our teams. But I'm going to the next game, which was Cleveland at home to Washington. So Washington won this game 2017. And I think a couple of things, if you're a Cleveland fan, quite a bit of encouragement with your quarterbacks, your first 1-2. Obviously, Josh McCown was 5-for-5 and a touchdown, looked really, really good, to be honest. As did the Kits, by the way, quite enjoyed the new Cleveland. And Denzel, he looks decent. He looked good. Like he encouraged, he built on his preseason form so far. He got a touchdown when he ran into the end zone. When he made a really good play when it broke down and he wanted to pass and use his legs when he needed to. And one player that I know that Rob, our super fan, wanted to mention, Danny, who as a Bears fan, looking like, you know, having taken Kevin White and letting Danny Sheldon go, it's kind of a maybe potential error for you guys, Tom. But he looked really good, and the defensive line in general looked strong. From a Washington perspective, watching this game, RG3, he looked more comfortable. He looked more at ease in himself. He made a few throws here and there. He also missed out a touchdown. Garcon drops an absolute stinker, to be honest. So all in all, it looked like it was a good game between two even sides and quite a physical game up front. I thought Trent Murphy looked good for Washington. So I'm interested to see, Ramona, you're living near that area of Washington. Can you take anything from this game?
I think that would be really smart, and they need to trade Kirk Cousins for a tight end stat because they need one.
Oh, they've had such terrible luck losing their top two tight ends. Yeah, it's not been really great for them. I'll say this as a Bengals fan and looking at Jay Gruden's offense. You know, we had Jermaine Gresham in there. Tight end isn't a part of the offense, I think, going forward. So we'll hopefully, I think you look at, they think they brought Scott Linehan in on the offensive line. So maybe getting Alfred Morris back up to the level of when he first came out in year two, maybe that will help in stretching the game for Pierre Garcon and Deshaun Jackson. But I think if you're watching, you can probably feel encouraged that are looking up. And as a fan, I guess you always just look up in the hope that sometimes it is, their hope is just around the corner. But I thought they looked good, and it was a good game for them. I think going into that week one game against your guys, Andrew, should be an interesting start for them.
I just one point in this game. Johnny Manziel looked like a professional quarterback. I was actually impressed. He's come a long way. He was getting rid of the ball pretty quick. He hasn't convinced me he can throw from the pocket yet, but because he rolled out an awful lot and he ran the ball. But he did have some good quick reads and some good quick throws. I think he's maybe progressing. There's might be some hope there.
Yeah, this way. I'm very happy we are playing the Browns in week one and not in week 10, because it wouldn't shock me if Manziel comes in the middle of the year, serves up some competent quarterback play versus what Josh McCown is inevitably going to deliver for the Browns within the first 8 weeks.
And that is coming from a fan of a team who have Ryan Patrick at starting quarterback. Wow. The next game is San Diego hosting Dallas. 17-7 was the in favor of San Diego. I think one of the things that I think we should talk about in this game is the fact that Phil Rivers has been given a new four-year extension in San Diego, because it's quite a nondescript game. Melvin Gordon didn't too much in Miami. Defensively, I thought San Diego looked good. And then from a Dallas perspective, you'll probably just be thinking, well, we had Brandon Weeden at the quarterback starting the game. So really, what can we take from the game from an offensive point of view? And defensively, there's some nice stuff, but mainly with the two. So for me, yeah, that's what Phil Rivers means to them to have. Because I think one of the better quarterbacks ever since Mike McCoy came back, was hired 2 years ago.
Yeah, you talk about the Rivers extension. I just think it's just an example that we should, whatever we hear around draft time around March, that we just don't listen to it. It's all BS. He's going to be in San Diego or Los Angeles for the next 4 years. And, he seems happy considering he's going to make $65 million guaranteed.
Oh man, imagine making that much money. What thoughts? I mean, obviously, as an Eagles fan, you play Cowboys, they were division champions. Do you think you'll get closer to Dallas this year, or do you think they may be champions again?
No, I think we will definitely compete better. It's always a curious matchup whenever it's Cowboys-Eagles. But seeing the Cowboys in this game early on, I mean, we didn't get to see any of their key personnel. I'm still not sure who their number one running backs are going to be. Is that front five still going to be as awesome as it was last year? I mean, these are the questions that I have that, aren't going to be answered week one preseason. So until we start seeing, get closer to the season, and then we start actually seeing them play, real teams, none of us are really going to know. But, I think Cowboys fans should be confident in what this team has done, though I still would be very concerned not having your number one running back in DeMarco Murray part of your team, and now with your division rival. It's one of those kind of things where it's like, what are they going to do? I mean, how often is Tony really going to throw to Dez Bryant?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't think you keep up the level of touch I had last year, Dez Bryant. You are right. If it's a running back by committee deal in Dallas, does that help them? Does that help them have the same sort of game? Obviously, all the running backs they have on the roster aren't at the same level as DeMarco Murray. I'm interested to see how Lael Collins does. Does he get himself into that starting five? Because he played a lot of snaps in this game. Looking at more focus, he graded really well. But again, interested to see if that line gets even better in year two. And also how the defense obviously builds on a really, really... unexpected performance last year, but hope that let's, for Cowboys fans' sake, I guess, hope to continue to build on that. The next game, Hirsch, you're going to sort of take us through Tennessee and Mark Barrett's day and their trip to Atlanta, where Atlanta won 31-24. What were the key takeouts from this game, Hirsch?
Well, you got to start with Marcus Mariota. I think it was very clear that there's going to be some transition for Mariota coming into the NFL. You could tell that when his first read wasn't there, that he was a little flustered. In Oregon's offense, it was a one-read system. He hit the guy who was open, and that was it. You could see Mariota holding on to the ball way too long and not giving his offensive line a chance, and then just sacking, getting strip sacked for a touchdown. He did bounce back later on a long drive, but that was against the second-team defense. It's preseason week one. There's going to be bumps in the progression. So I'm not worried about him. I still would be thrilled if he was wearing green like right now. So apparently he's not. So, I mean, it's preseason week one. Injuries could happen. So much could change. But, if you had to made me pick a team, would have the number one pick this year, I would pick Tennessee. I think it will take a while for Mariota to get up to speed, and they don't have the playmakers on their skill positions. Bishop Sankey is as bleh as a running back as I've watched in a long time. He doesn't, which is very funny because considering he was the first running back off the board last year. Their offensive line looks shaky. And the receivers, they have talent at receiver with Kendall Wright and Dorial Green-Beckham, but someone's going to get them the ball, and Mariota might have a tough time doing that in his first year. And on their defense, they're transitioning to a 3-4 under Ray Horton. They don't really have the personnel for it yet. They have one really, really good player in Jarrell Casey and one very good corner in Jason McCourty. But besides that, I don't really see much talent to be excited about. When it comes to the Falcons during this game, Matt Ryan played amazing. He looks in midseason form, and so did Julio Jones. And besides that, I mean, Atlanta looked good. Atlanta looked good coming into this in week one. Hopefully they keep it up. But I think the story of this game was Tennessee more than Atlanta.
That's a good point. Well, I think some growing pains with Mariota. I think we'll be interested to see how he develops. And again, I think maybe this new coordinator, sorry, this new head coach in Atlanta will give them a chance to get back at top of the division, because they've got some offense, as you mentioned, and defensively, they can't be much worse than they were last year. So I think let's see how that turned. Staying in that division, Carolina, they traveled to Buffalo and prevailed 25-24. Hirsch, again, I guess, obviously, Buffalo winning your division. What did you see from that performance?
Well, very much like the Cleveland situation, I really hope Buffalo sticks with Matt Castle, a quarterback, because while he was 7 of 8, he only compiled 5 yards, which is about, I don't know, like 6 yards per attempt. That's not very good. That's just not very good. And Tyrod Taylor looked pretty good. That's the guy I would be concerned about facing out of all these Bills quarterbacks. He has the ability to create something out of nothing, and that's not anything you could say about Matt Castle or EJ Manuel. He had a very scramble for 10 yards where he faked out a couple of guys, and eluding a sack. And McCoy looked good, looked midseason form, and their defense, obviously with my guy Rex Ryan, looked on Carolina's side. Kelvin Benjamin was probably the star of the preseason in week one, along with he looked like he had a clone on the other side, and Devin Funchess, the rookie wide receiver out of Michigan. Carolina knew that when Cam Newton misses, he tends to miss high. So they took this guy Funchess, like a 6'5 monster, just throw the ball up. And Funchess ended up out jumping. I don't remember who the corner was on Buffalo, but ended up out jumping him for the touchdown. So besides that, there wasn't really much going on there. Jonathan Stewart didn't play, and Cam Newton didn't only had like nine throws. So besides that, everything looks good for Buffalo. I mean,
definitely.
There's nothing about Buffalo that you saw in this game that you didn't expect. It's all about if they have the quarterback play, they're going to be the second best team in this division. But are they going to get that quarterback play? Something tells me that Tyrod Taylor is going to end up starting week one, and he is going to be starting preseason week two. So Rex Ryan apparently saw what I saw, because Matt Castle isn't bringing you anywhere, much like my guy Fitzpatrick isn't going to bring us anywhere.
It's to that year when Miami won the division, when they brought the Wildcat in and kind of use that to sort of differentiate themselves. But it's not a long-term goal. If Tyrod Taylor is going to be the quarterback, how much can he rely on sort of making things happen with his legs? But they've still got pieces on offense. Sammy Watkins, Robert Woods, obviously McCoy we've talked about.
Right.
And defensively, they've done things that they can work on. So we'll see. And obviously, they're going for their third division in a row now. And I wonder if they'll build on that, their performances from last year. And it's good to see Kelvin Benjamin make that sort of step, although he did score a touchdown against the cornerback, Ron Darby, who's a rookie, so don't put that. So interesting. Guy, drop for you.
Well, we're on to Cincinnati.
We are on Cincinnati, Bill. Thank you very much. Because it's time to recap game featuring my boys. Obviously, we prevailed, as we always do in the preseason, 24-10 against the Giants. As I said, I can't be here today. I'm embarrassed. seriousness, the team offense looked great. Andy Dalton led a really crisp drive. Everybody kind of got a touch. Jeremy Hill had a nice run. AJ Green had a nice catch. Tyler Eifert was Tyler Eifert that we had in the preseason. Fantastic. And then Mo Sanu finished it off for a touchdown at the end. And Manning in came four drives and anything going. So I was quite interested to see how slow they were. Their line struggled. Their offensive line struggled. Beckham Jr. couldn't get anything going against Adam Pacman Jones. So it was a great performance led by Geno Atkins from our perspective on defense through the team. If any players looking for some young defensive talent, Cincinnati may be the place to come because we had some really nice performances from a number of young players. Two guys on the defensive line that I was really impressed with was Marcus Hardison, who was our fourth round pick last year. He looked really good, had a nice sack. Deshaun Williams, who was a guy from Clemson defensive, he had a really nice seven snaps, and he looked really good in preseason. So a guy to watch out for. Hopefully he sticks around, but I can see somebody signing him up. And then also Troy Hill, who was an undrafted free agent from Oregon. He was fantastic. He was one of Pro Football Focus's most highly graded players, and he had a nice couple of breakups. So I was really, really impressed with the way that we played. Hardly any penalties, really, really efficient on offense with Andy Dalton and the guys. And fingers crossed, we've got Tampa Bay next week, but hopefully we can continue to build on that and get to Oakland the week one with a really, really good preseason. So that, in a nutshell, is our game. Did anybody see any of this game? No, I take it.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't see this one.
I just, again, with the Giants and their defense, it's just a suspect defense. They've got a lot of questions, a lot of holes. I'm wondering why they're sticking kind of with their same kind of game plan with what they've been doing the last couple of years. It just doesn't feel like it's working. If I were a Giants fan, I'd be very frustrated right now seeing the way they performed.
Yeah, I completely agree. Sorry, Hirsch. Go ahead.
No, go on. I was going to talk about something else. So I want to hear what you want to say about the Giants so I could rip Sam
I'm just
a
interested.
New one when I see him.
Yeah. I'm interested to see if the back season when scoring all these points, they're winning a few games, you know, Beckham was going off, if that was an aberration or that's who they are, because I didn't see anything that I thought this team are going to be really dangerous in the NFC East, because I think defensively they didn't look too great, particularly sort of around. I think they look quite decent. Defensively, couldn't get anything. So we'll see how it develops. I think the Bengals are going to be one of the top defenses, and it's also the first week of preseason, so a few things, but I'm interested to see how this team develops and if they can be a genuine contender in the NFC East. So, without further ado, we're going to our next game, which stays in the NFC North. Go through some points here. Pittsburgh lost 21 to Jacksonville in Jacksonville. And I watched this game because I have best friends who are Pittsburgh fans and Jacksonville fans. My friend Zam Wood gave me some really good points on the Jacksonville game. One, which I saw myself, obviously, was Blake Bortles. Really, like he developed, he's matured a little bit, accurate. But then if you switch over to kind of his clone, Big Ben, I thought Big Ben and their offense looks so good and picked up where they left off. That offensive line looks brilliant. Jacksonville couldn't get any pressure on them. Martavis Bryant, I think he had his knee drained last week and he comes out and scores a touchdown again. So, again, it looks like Pittsburgh are picking up where they left off and Jacksonville looking to do some nice things, but I'm not sure they're going to be anything more than a 5-win team. Ramona, we talked about Pittsburgh earlier on your show. Is there anything from it that you've seen about Pittsburgh that you think they're going to be even better in 2015?
Pittsburgh's my pick to go to the Super Bowl this year. They just look fantastic. I mean, they just have all the pieces, all the parts. I mean, and here's the thing, you know, traditionally they've been such a dominant defensive team, but I feel like Ben is just become, you know, one of the premier quarterbacks in the league, and I feel like he's finally has the pieces and parts that he needs to get there. I cannot say enough good things about this team. Sorry, Simon.
Oh, it's okay. You know, we've got the Ginger Wizard at quarterback. I mean, what more do I want from life?
Ben Roethlisberger.
I don't think I want Big Ben as my quarterback. Just how good he is. Andy.
Yes, it was 153.
I think the only thing that goes... Go for it, Andrew.
Oh, yeah. Ramona said about the Steelers, that I was deciding between taking the Steelers to win it all or the Ravens to win it all based on the odds. And I lean towards the Ravens because I don't trust that Steelers defense. Ramona said they're more of an offensive-minded team now. On defense, they're very, very, very thin in the secondary. They did trade for Brandon Boykin, but their other corners, Cortez Allen, who they signed to a big extension last year before the season, really flopped. Their new safeties are counting on some young guys like Shamarco Thomas to make an impact. And I'd be very concerned that there are going to be a lot of 38-35 losses this year in Pittsburgh.
Anyone agree? I'm interested. No. I've been thinking about this for a long time, because every time, basically the record is, every new defensive coordinator, you always take a dip back. And I don't know where they finished in terms of the rankings last year, but I don't think they were anything more than kind of a mid-ranking defense. And if they do end up in the bottom 20s, it's going to be a lot of shootouts, and they'll win some of those games, they'll lose some of those games. So I think how they do it against those first place teams will dictate how Steelers do. As the AFC North, it's going to be really competitive, and I think Baltimore will be, as you say, really, really competitive. We'll beat some teams, we'll lose to some teams, and Cleveland will be better. So at the moment, I think Pittsburgh are favourites, but I don't think by a long way. Anyway, this game on our list is Lewis 3-23. I know you watched this game, and Jared has fed some, our St. Lewis superfan has fed some thoughts into you. Do you want to take it away with this game?
Sure. The highlight of this game was really the first two plays for the Rams. They had two quick throws. One was a 26-yarder to Lance Hendricks. The other one was a 35-yard catch and run to Tavon Austin. That set up a field goal. Unfortunately, the offense pretty much stalled after that. Jared says that he thought the offensive line looked okay. He particularly was watching Jamon Brown, who's third-round pick. He's an offensive guard. They have a lot of high hopes for a lot of young guys along the line on that team. I got to tell you, I was not as impressed. I thought the run blocking was okay, not great. I thought the pass protection was pretty bad. I mildly disagree with him on this. They have offensive line issues on that team, and that's bad news because they've really built that team to compete in that division, the NFC West. It's kind of a rugged division, and they built it to win the games at the line of scrimmage, and they certainly have done that successfully on defense. That front seven, those guys are monsters, and they showed that. But the offensive line is a problem. They are not going to push anybody back. I've got a feeling that there's trouble with that offense. Derek Carr for the Raiders looked reasonably good. You know, it's really funny. You read the articles, and some people really like him, and some people really don't. They claim that he drops the ball off too much. He had, I think, the lowest average passing yards per play last year. But he looked pretty good to me. He's got a reasonably good arm. He was pretty accurate. What was notable to me was he targeted Amari Cooper an awful lot, and Cooper looks to me like he's going to be a big part of that offense. He touched the ball like four times and, in the first eight plays, and, Carr finally targeted him once too often through an interception. But, overall, I thought Cooper looked pretty good. That offense shows some promise as far as I can tell. I just have to wait and see how they do. I have written down here that the Rams had too many penalties, 10 penalties, 75 yards. Again, first preseason game, not that unusual. One other big note, and I swear I had this written down before Ramona agreed to be on this podcast. Beth Mowins did the play-by-play for the Oakland Raiders broadcast, which was the one that the NFL.com had with the game. I watched quite a number of these preseason games over the past week. She was the best play-by-play announcer of all the ones that I actually managed to see. And of all the people that did games, only Mike Mayock, who did the Eagles-Colts game as a color man, really sounded better to me overall. I thought that she did a great job, and I'm on record as saying this, but I want to reemphasize it. There are not enough women who work for this league. As a fan We are never going to see the best product on the field that the league can put on if they exclude 50% of the population from positions in their front offices, as referees, and in this case, as play-by-play people. When this was brought up last week, I know Ron, the Miami superfan, brought up Donna Ponte. She's been a political power in Miami for some time. But I think that these people are still too few and far between, and I think we're seeing some inroads this year with our first female referee and with our first female coach in Arizona. But I don't think we're seeing it enough. I don't think we're seeing it fast enough. I want this league to be the best that it can be, and it's never going to be that until we see more women in these positions. And I think Beth Mowins did a fantastic job. She's very representative of what can happen if they allow that.
I think everyone agrees. Yeah, I think it's great to see that that's the way it's moving forward. I think it's we need to move away from this stereotype of being the sideline reporters and going to the booth. They offer so much, as much as they do. So, yeah, fingers crossed that we see more women doing the play-by-plays and hopefully one day as analysts too. Ramona, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm tired of the girls is just window dressing. It's annoying because, I mean, you know, you have a cute girl on the sideline with a, you know, microphone and she's shoving it up the coach's literally, like, nose and trying to get, like, a sound bite that doesn't matter. But then when it comes to discussions like this, we're not included. And it's very frustrating as a female fan because, you know, I think I've proven that there's a lot of us who are knowledgeable, who do know our stuff, who want to talk about this, who want to talk about what's going on with our teams. And unfortunately, you know, it's very much still a boys' club. I will say this as a woman, too. Sometimes it's very intimidating to come into a situation and you're talking to men about sports because sometimes women and men look at things very differently and women can often be misunderstood. So, you know, there's still that kind of like bridge gap of like, ooh, that like fear factor whenever I'm with a group of guys like yourselves talking about sports, like, can I keep up? I think as women continue to grow in our fandom and make our voices heard and have shows like mine, I think you're going to see more women talking about sports, you know, on an equal playing field as men.
And let me speak on behalf of Tom and Andrew as well. You're definitely holding your own against us, if not absolutely out of the park. I think more we can, I honestly think average in comparison to Ramona today. But in all seriousness, I think podcasts like yours, things like whatever we can do, it doesn't matter. Just don't look at somebody like they're inferior to you based on their opinions. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone's opinion is worth something, regardless of gender, age, whatever it may be, and who they support, whoever it may be. Embrace it, see that we can have more conversations with more people, because I think the more people watch sport, the more enjoyable experience it can be. So fingers crossed that we can do that. I think let's talk about the next game, because we are we've just done about an hour, and I know Podbay will go crazy if we do it's too long, but still fun, so who cares. But the next game is Denver 20, and there's been some really good points. Our Denver super fan, who I always remember is all the way, 18 all the way, so I don't really know his full name, which is really bad of me. Hopefully somebody will interrupt me here. But he made some great points about the defense on the way. It's looking really, really great. I thought, that in particular, Von Miller, but he looked fantastic. He may push the sack leader title all the way this year. And again, he made another good point about their offensive line. It looked good. It looked better. I guess in Gary Kubiak's system, they're always going to be a source of quality. I think that's one thing out there. But one area that wasn't of quality was the special teams, and they looked really bad. And that was because Tyler Lockett, the Seahawks' third-round draft pick out of Kansas State, I believe, he looks absolutely fantastic. So if you're in a fantasy league where defense and special teams are really important, trust me, the Seattle will be ones to watch out for this year. And then looking at it from a Seattle point of view, I thought their offensive line looked really, really shaky. Ramona, we talked about this on I think before we spoke earlier, but Jimmy Graham on the offense is going to be really, really interesting. Did anyone see this game? Did anyone have any additional sense on this? I just thought it was a game between teams that have been well over the last couple of years.
No, I didn't actually get to see this game, but again, I've got good questions about. I can't wait to see Graham in a fully functional, you know, offense. You know, how do they split time between Marshawn Lynch and Graham? You know, are they going to use him more as that kind of like an almost like a back rather than the tight end? You know, what is that going to, you know, change if they had Graham for that last play of the Super Bowl, would it have changed? I don't know. So, you know, I feel like it definitely fills a hole in that offense. The other thing I'm concerned about for the Seahawks is, again, Cam Chancellor is, you know, whining about his contract yet again. You know, are they going to get the deal finalized so that he's fully ready to go? You know, keeping that defensive unit is so critical for that team that, you know, if you've got one cog kind of out of that, the entire defense is going to follow. So that concerns me a lot for that team.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. And the point about Graham's an interesting one as well, because I think they struggled in the red zone last year. Wilson's a really good CU, and that's how Jimmy Graham sort of lived. So really to see if, like to your point, if they can add Marshawn, and I'd obviously add Graham there, and I'm interested to see how the defense does if pieces are missing. So really, really good points there. The next game was the first game on Saturday, which was San Francisco travel to Houston. So your Hard Knocks prevailed 23-10, and for me, both the quarterbacks in Houston, where there's obviously a battle going on, really good. Brian Hoyer started out, he looked really good, led a touchdown drive, I believe. And then Ryan Mallett again looked really, really efficient, warning completion. Points to make from San Francisco, or 2 points from San Francisco's view, is they had one of the most incredible goal line stands I've seen in a long time. Obviously, a long time because we don't have any football. But it was great. It was like 8 plays from like the 4-yard line, and they stopped them out, and it was fantastic. So it's good to see them playing really, really hard for Jim Tonsula, who, as an Englishman and some in Jim Tonsula, who has close to the Europe game, I hope he does really, really well. And then, as a rugby league fan, Jarryd Hayne, who is a rugby league superstar, is now playing running back and kick return for San Francisco, and he looked really good. So if anybody's not seen that game for Jarryd Hayne and watch his progress. He is fantastic. I'm hopeful that he can make the team and do a really good job. Did anybody see any of this game?
I saw that highlight. He's massive. I mean, he is a big dude.
Yeah, and he pretty glides as well.
I have a lot of friends in Australia who know an awful lot about this guy as a rugby league star. And they didn't think he was going to make it. They thought he was going to get busted in the mouth, and that was going to be the end of it. So I was kind of glad to read about this. It sounds like, you know, he runs a little upright, but he's got good instincts and power. And if he's got vision, then I'm going to bet he'll make the team, and maybe he'll make it in the league.
I think it's probably
they have plenty of openings.
Sorry, Andrew, you're going to make a good point.
No, I was going to say that something that I saw from this game, but was Ryan Mallett. Played very, very, very well. He went 10 for 11 for 90 yards. It was very interesting because they had Brian Hoyer in for one drive and they had a touchdown, and then they pulled him right after they had Mallett in. So it was sort of seemed like, oh, Hoyer's the guy. And then Mallett came and did what he did, and now Mallett's starting next week. So of all like the backup quarterbacks that played this week, there were some that played very well. Like I mentioned, like Tyrod Taylor, Zach Mettenberger, Brock Osweiler. I think Mallett showed the most, and I'd be very interested to see what the coaches say this week on Hard Knocks on what their philosophy is going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I watched the first episode. Fantastic episode, and it's good to see how it goes. But it's Bill is like a really straight up guy, and I think he'll just have somebody who can do the best guy will win the job, and that's kind of the New England philosophy that I'm sure he's taken down to Houston. So fingers crossed that the Houston fans can get some quality quarterback play for once. But obviously they losing our is going to be huge. So see how that happens. But still they'll be thereabouts. I think, you know, 9-7 potentially team, but we'll see. The next game, yeah. Sorry, Tom.
That's right. It did occur to me that they might rather see Ryan Mallett win that competition. He's a little bit younger than Hoyer. Hoyer's not old by any stretch. He's 29. But Mallett might have more of a future with them. And, you know, Andrew might have a point. They may have seen Mallett perform, and they might have decided they might want a guy with a couple more years to keep around if they really think he can be the guy. So he might have a little edge in that competition. I think it's kind of interesting. From what I understand, both quarterbacks were nearly perfect.
Yeah, they both look really, really sharp. And again, yeah, that's the kind of competition you want, a good quality battle between two decent competitors. And let's see, that's from a Houston fan point of view, let's hope that they can do a good job for them. On to the game, which was Jameis Winston's debut, and they lost the Vikings 16, which keeps Mike Zimmer at a perfect 6-0 in the preseason. I thought, as a Bengals fan, obviously you kind of have your main team, but as a Mike Zimmer fan, obviously watch out for the Vikings a lot. Teddy Bridgewater, again, just really sharp. It's like a really good quarterback, and I'm again gutted that we didn't draft him last year. That's by the by. I thought Jameis Winston, have you guys seen? I thought he looked a little jumpy, a little frenetic. He was trying to force a lot of things, which I know is a trait that he had at Florida State, but still, he did settle down his fifth drive, but I still thought he looked a bit antsy, and I'm interested to see how he developed the preseason. Did you guys see any of this game?
Yeah, I watched it, and I kind of agree with you with Winston. A couple of interesting things about him. First of all, he had no zip on the ball. And he had a lot of wobbly balls too. I was really surprised. One of the announcers pointed this out, and it was really true. He has a release now that's about an hour long, and I don't understand how that happened because I don't remember it being like that at Florida State. But all of a sudden, you know, his mechanics really looked messed up, and it almost made me wonder if maybe they're asking him to take a little bit off the ball and throw with some touch. And in the process, they've kind of messed up his mechanics a little bit, because he didn't look that good, especially early. He did settle in the second quarter, but a little bit. But, you know, I was kind of hoping for a little bit more from him. I guess we'll wait and see what happens. The other thing that stood out for me from Tampa Bay's point of view, Doug Martin, a lot of people were surprised that Lovie Smith just sort of declared him to be the starter in the offseason really early. I can kind of understand why. He's got a lot of burst. He's quick. He's got real good vision. He's real good through his cuts. I like the way that he looks, and I understand that a whole lot better now. I think he's going to be pretty good for Tampa Bay this year.
I have an answer to why Jameis Winston – oh, sorry. Sorry, Andrew.
No, it's me. Don't worry. Go ahead, Ramona. Please.
Okay.
You have a good question. I'll answer, sorry.
No. I have a reason why Jameis Winston probably is looking really shaky. You know, a lot of people forget that the majority of his games were played, you know, facing ACC opponents. With the exception of Clemson, the ACC is not known for its football, you know, greatness. And I know this for a fact because I graduated from an ACC school. So, you know, if it's basketball, we're awesome. Football, eh. So part of the problem is that, you know, he didn't have that great competition. The other thing was, while I was watching this game, I tweeted out as a joke, you know, hey, just like Oregon, hashtag clap, 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 clap. I think when he's faced with, you know, situations where he's not as comfortable, he's going to make these mistakes. He's going to be shaky. I'm hoping that this is just rookies, because I like to see him succeed. But I'm wondering if we're starting to see the real Jameis Winston come out.
Possibly, yeah. I think that's a good. I mean, he won a lot of games, played in a really good team. I'm interested to see. I mean, he's obviously got NFL quarterback traits. He just needs to. I think the mental part of the game will be something that I think comes with Jameis. I think there'll be some ups and downs this next year, but I still think he has ability to be potential, you know, franchise quarterback is what they're after. And I know Daniel was a little bit worried about who's obviously up, but was a little bit worried about that. But I think next game they play the Bengals, so interesting to see how he does against the same sort of defense, and seeing if he makes any sort of progress, because he has weapons, has a running game. Doug Martin looked in this game, so everybody in Tampa will hopefully have high hopes that he can deliver on his potential.
I'm sorry. I know we're running short, but I want to do the Vikings justice and at least mention that they did look good on offense. But Phil Loadholt, their right tackle, reportedly tore his Achilles. If that's true, he'll be out for the season. That's a big blow for them. They'll have to start a rookie, TJ Clemmings, in his place. That's big news for Minnesota. That has to be a pretty huge disappointment. He's coming off of a torn pectoral muscle, so he's been hurt a lot. This could be it for him, especially if Clemmings proves to be decent. So I thought that needed to be mentioned.
You know, also, sorry, I did. Go for it, Hirsch.
Situation with Tampa Bay is that their best offensive lineman, DeMar Dotson, suffered a severe knee injury. And if he's out, then Jameis' long release is going to even be more of an issue, because he was their best offensive lineman. And he was the only above average offensive lineman. I believe he was ranked, the Tampa Bay offensive line was ranked 32nd by our old friend Matt Williamson over there. So if that's the case, and now they lost Dotson, then I think it's going to be a long season in Tampa for Jameis.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I think there'll be a lot of ups and a lot of downs in next season. I think they'll make some progress. But yeah, that line just worries me. And I think in just making about Minnesota, I think Teddy Bridgewater can make it work with Clemens at right tackle. He just seems to play as no one around him, which is a great job he had at Louisville. So fingers crossed he makes that development into year two and pushes them into a potential sleeper playoff team, because I think they can probably beat some of the guys in your division, Tom. And I think it'd be interesting to see how he does in year two. So the last Saturday game is KC at Arizona. So KC prevailed 34-19, but not after a really good start from the Arizona starters. Hirsch, this is one of the games I think you were going to recap. What did you take away from this game?
Well, before we even talk about the game, we already mentioned that Jen Welter, the Arizona coach, and Sarah Thomas, the official, were the first female coach and referee, respectively, to appear in an NFL game. So that was pretty cool. And another cool story was Eric Berry's return from his fight with cancer. So he's going to be back on the field this year and hopefully revert to being one of the best safeties in football. So that's also a cool story. As for the game, it's very concerning for Kansas City, considering they sat Jamaal Charles because they didn't want to get him hurt, but yet Niall Davis, the backup, who's one of the only guys that you should be taking in fantasy as a handcuff, hurt himself and was carted into the locker room, as well as the right guard Jeff Allen, and the Oregon speedster DeAnthony Thomas was also hurt. As for actual on the field play, it looked typical. Alex Smith, 4.2 yards per attempt, didn't throw the ball much downfield. It's going to be very interesting to see how he meshes with Jeremy Maclin this year, because Maclin is known as a deep receiver. He's been better. He's made strides since he's come out of Missouri playing the middle of the field, but that's what he's going to have to do this year. So it's going to be interesting to see that. Alex Smith threw a very uncharacteristic interception, trying to force the ball to Jason Avant. And as for Arizona, they looked very, very good. Andre Ellington looked explosive on a 57-yard pass. He got caught at the 5-yard line, which was surprising considering speed's supposed to be his game. And this is the preseason, so we got to keep talking about backup quarterbacks. Logan Thomas, who Bruce Arians would refuse to start last year in the playoff game against Carolina, where he started Ryan Lindley and he put up a performance for the ages. He played very well too. He was 9 of 15 for 107 yards and an interception, but the interception wasn't his fault. The receiver he was attempting to literally bounced off his helmet into the arms of a waiting defender. So besides that for Arizona, everything looks on the up and up, and hopefully the players for the Chiefs that got hurt, it's nothing too serious, and we'll see them on the field in week one.
Yeah, absolutely. Fingers crossed. I just think one final point to make on Kansas City, which was the first play of their first offensive drive was a clear intention to get the ball downfield to Miles. It was an incomplete, but I thought that was quite interesting to sort of see that was the intention. Right. And then they understand kind of where they need to go, which is the reason Macklin's in the team, obviously, in the first place. But again, yeah, really interested to see that part. But I mean, I think that's an offense that can be maybe sneaky good if Jamaal Charles gets back and Travis Kelce, that's his brother.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce, that's right. He can take the next in year three. Everybody.
It's a little concerning, though. If you're going to try to force the ball down the field with a quarterback that can't do it, like, are you going to try to make Alex Smith do something that he can't do? Or are you going to just do what you've been doing the past couple of years by throwing the ball not further than 10 yards in the air, which it was still a decent offense, but you're not winning a Super Bowl that way. So I guess I think Andy Reid realizes that. So he's going to try and force the ball downfield, but I'm not sure Al is capable of doing it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it develops. I think there's a lot more games to go. I think it becomes a different game when Jamaal Charles is able to open it up more naturally, to speak. We'll see how that develops. But yeah, I think if you're a fan of both teams, you'd be encouraged with some of the play and discouraged by some of it. But that's the whole reason we have preseason is to iron out those kinks. The final game, and Ramona, you are a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles, and you prevailed. Looked really good today against the Indianapolis Colts. Sort of give us the overview you saw before you started interviewing superfans left, right, and center.
Yeah, I've kind of been in my studio all day watching, but I caught brief moments of the game. I got to see Matt Barkley's interception. Yay! I got to see Tim Tebow sacked. Yay! Didn't get to see Sam Bradford or DeMarco Murray. Neither one of them dressed, and those are my big question marks. Like, what are they going to look like? You know, is Sam Bradford, again, his, you know, talk about glass jaw with Geno. You know, we've got a quarterback with glass knees. Is he going to survive? You know, and do we have an offensive line that's going to protect him? I don't think so. I'm very worried. It's interesting. I've actually interviewed Mark, your Philly super fan, and he's all happy and joyous in California. Well, that's great. I'm an East Coast girl, and I'm scared to death. I just think, I'm like, what's Chip Kelly doing? I don't know. I'm very scared. They looked good. But again, you know, none of the major players really played. So that's always my concern, is that we didn't really see anything.
I think you should be looking excited about the season, Ramona. You've got a head coach who's now getting what he wants. You'll be a good offense. I think your defense looked really good today. So I think there's a lot to be encouraged by. I don't understand, it's a natural Philadelphia Eagles thing, but, you know, I think there's lots of to take from this game. Special teams were great today. Defense looked great today. Offense moved the ball well. With Mark Sanchez at quarterback, this is Mark Sanchez we're talking about. This is not your average quarterback. This is your under-average quarterback. So, come on, you're encouraged by some performances. Otherwise, what are we doing here? Tebow looked good. There's so much here to be really thankful for, Ramona. I think you've been really positive up until this point.
I've just, unfortunately, for the last decade, we've gotten so close, so close, so close. Oops, not this year. So close, not this year. And then you got Dallas down there with their awesome offensive line going, yeah. You know, again, a lot of questions. I can't wait to see DeMarco Murray out in the field. I think he's going to be tremendous. Again, it was great that Sanchez and Barkley got a ton of snaps, because I think we're going to be using them, because, again, I don't trust Sam Bradford's not going to be able to do an entire season. So that those are my question marks. So, you know, and then you got Nick Foles over there, you know, in St. Louis. And I'm like, I kind of miss the dude, but I don't know. It's a lot of questions in the air. I'm trying to be cautiously optimistic, but, you know, it's just, I think a lot of fans, Philly fans, we're just kind of like holding our breaths going, we want to see something first before we go, yay.
You know, if it makes you feel any better, a bunch of Philadelphia fans have gone to moveon.org and they've started some sort of a petition to try to get the Pope to bless Bradford's knee. What do you think?
I saw that. I saw that. That's just silly.
I think that could save your season.
Yeah. He just signed some fan on a training camp actually gave him a Bible to sign, and he signed it. I'm like, what? Why?
Right, two things. We're a Tebow freeze. We can't talk about Tebow. He will not be the team. So fair play. Don't say Bibles though, Tim. That's just crazy. But you're talking to three fans whose quarterbacks are Jay Cutler, Andy Dalton, and one between Ryan Fitzpatrick or Geno Smith, with or without a jaw. So I think you'll be fine. This is a good system. It's a good system, and one a system you should really proud of. But I have had much fun tonight, and that is kind of our full slate of games. I think week two, we will be back with Mark Sitko at the helm. I'm not sure what fans will have. There'll be a preview of week two on Thursday, which Pod Vader will be hosting. Always, you can talk to us, because next panel for that on both those platforms. NFU@gmail.com, is that right? nextfanup@gmail.com is our email address, I believe. And again, guys, I've enjoyed this. I hope you've enjoyed this. Have you enjoyed this?
I've enjoyed it a great deal. Brilliant. I always do.
It's always fun talking football.
Thank you, Todd. It's always talking football. It's been
as a Jets fan, and what's going on the past couple of weeks. I mean, I can't really say I've enjoyed it so much.
It's not that bad.
Poor Andrew. Yeah. I don't know how to help. If Andy Dalton at quarterback, what I can say for you. Anyway, English starting.
Jaguars fan, that's worse.
I don't know. They've got the weather. But no, in all seriousness, so for me, Simon Hunter, for Chicago Tom, and for Andrew of the Jets, and our lovely pal, Rice, and this has been Up There, have it. Do I end it now?
That it?
Yay, that's it.
Boy,
okay, guys. Thanks, marathon.
Thanks, guys, so much. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I just wanted
What a time.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
I thought it went really well. I thought you did a great job. I'll cut down on the bear.
Great job, Sam.
Oh, no, it's not easy with 16 games.
Yeah.
There's a little bit in the middle where... Sorry, buddy. Go on, Hirsch.
No. It's something I could... I'm going to email Ramona after. I don't need to say it right now. It's fine. All right.
Okay, cool.
Oh. Well, yeah, because I had to jump off. Because I have to interview the Chargers superfan now.
Okay, cool. I'll see you all soon, yeah?
All right. Yes, very good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Simon. Nice work. Nice work. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Andrew.
See you guys soon. Bye-bye.